Welcome back. In this advanced lesson, we're tightening up one of the biggest workflow upgrades in drum and bass mixing, pre-master translation checks. And this is a serious one, because translation is the difference between a tune that feels lethal in your room and one that still hits when it leaves your room. If your mix only works on your monitors, at your preferred volume, with all your stereo width intact, then it's not really finished. It's just behaving well under ideal conditions. So today, the goal is not mastering. We're not trying to fake polish with loudness. We're building a fast, repeatable check system inside Ableton Live that tells you, early and honestly, whether your mix is actually communicating. This is especially important in darker, heavier drum and bass, jungle and rolling bass music, because the whole style depends on a few things working together at the same time: sub-accuracy, kick and snare punch, readable bass mids, controlled brightness, and a drop that still feels dangerous even when the playback system gets worse. If just one of those falls apart, the tune can suddenly feel flat, weak, blurry, or weirdly harsh. By the end of this lesson, you'll have a pre-master translation check rack on your master channel, plus a practical final check routine you can use on any near-finished mix. The idea is speed, not more tweaking. Better decisions, faster. And that's a key mindset throughout this lesson. Advanced workflow is not about doing more checks just because you can. It's about hearing the right problem, naming it correctly, and fixing the highest impact thing first. So before we build anything, let's start with pre-master prep. Make sure you are actually checking a real mix state, not a half-finished sketch with high processing on top. On your master channel, before any limiter or loudness chasing, you want peak somewhere around -6 to -3 dB. Your drums, bass, and main musical layers should already be balanced. Major automation should already be written. And ideally, there shouldn't be random muted layers that are going to change the drop later. Here's the honest truth. If the mix only feels exciting because a limiter on the master is doing 4 to 6 dB of gain reduction, you are not checking translation. You are checking an illusion. A very good move here is to create two master states. One is your clean mix bus, where you keep only corrective or very light glue processing. The other is your check bus, where all your translation tools live. That separation keeps you honest. Now let's build the rack. Drop an audio effect rack on the master and name it pre-master translation check. Inside that rack, create these chains: normal, mono, small speaker, low-end focus, harshness check, and reference level match. You can switch between them using chain activators, macros, or however you like to work quickly. The important thing is that switching is immediate. You do not want friction here. If checking translation feels annoying, you won't do it enough. Let's go chain by chain. First, the normal chain. This is your baseline, your default listening state. Keep it neutral. A simple stock setup works great here. Use AQ8 with no high pass or low pass engaged unless there is an obvious corrective move you already trust. If you want, add glue compressor very lightly. Try a 2:1:10 ms attack, auto release, and only around 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction max. Then add spectrum with a 4096 block size and medium or high averaging. And finally, utility at 0 dB gain and 100% width. This chain is not for dramatic changes. It's just your clean reference point. Quick teacher note here, spectrum is useful, but don't let it drive the decisions. In DNB especially, a visually impressive low end can still translate terribly. Use your eyes to confirm patterns, not to overrule your ears. Next, the mono chain. This one matters a lot more than some people want to admit. DNB can sound massive in stereo because of widened reesses, FX tails, atmospheres, and shiny top layers. But mono reveals whether the center of the track is actually doing its job. On this chain, add utility and set width to 0%. Optionally, put an AQ8 after it and high pass around 25 to 30 Hz with a steep slope, just to remove infra rubbish and help you hear the actual balance more clearly. Now listen for what changes. Does the snare lose body? Does the bass line shrink too much? Do your wide tops just disappear? Do reverbs suddenly wash over the transients? Does the drop stop feeling urgent when the width goes away? For darker rollers, the pass-fail test is simple. Even in mono, the track should still feel punchy, urgent, and rhythmically clear. Kick, snare, and sub-rhythm should still carry the tune. If mono makes the drop feel empty, that's a big clue. And I'd label that as a spatial problem, not automatically an EQ problem. That distinction matters. One of the best workflow upgrades at advanced level is keeping a tiny decision log beside the session. Think in four categories: tonal, Dynamic, spatial, and structural. Tonal means EQ or harmonics. Dynamic means envelope, compression, impact. Spatial means width, phase, depth. Structural means arrangement, density, or bad handoff between elements. So if a ser disappears on earbuds, that could be tonal, because it needs more upper mid definition. It could be dynamic, because the transient is too soft. Or it could be structural, because a bass phrase is stepping on the snare every time it hits. That one habit alone can save you from hours of wrong fixes. Now the small speaker chain. This is one of the most useful checks in all of DNB mixing. Club systems carry sub. Phones and laptops do not. So if your tune only works because of sub pressure, the groove will vanish on most everyday systems. Set up a EQ8 with a high pass at 120 Hz using a 24 dB slope, and a low pass around 7 to 9 kHz with a 12 dB slope. Then add saturator in analog clip or soft psi mode, with around 1.5 to 3 dB of drive, soft clip on, and output adjusted so the level matches. This audio version is shortened for playback.